From Wishing Star Studio in St. Paul, Minnesota, this is Being an Elder, Living a Meaningful Life, hosted by Karen Lund. This is episode 3, Life is Good, Being an Elder to Family and Friends.
Life is good. Being an elder to family and friends can be good, fun, and so involved with those you love and care about. For each of us, this means time and energy will be expanded. So how are you going to expend that time and energy? Remember, these roles are your choice, like all the roles of being an elder. Another aspect of family and friends is, does this really apply to me? In this group, we look at parents, spouses and partners, children, grandchildren, some even have great-grandchildren, extended family and friends. You know, you might be like me. I don't have a partner or spouse, children or grandchildren. When I'm reading or listening to something that doesn't seem to apply to me, I may imagine, how can I make it mine to use? How can I use this information? Or it might just be something I want to think about, an issue that needs some reflection. I'm saying to you, take a risk. Think outside the box. Learn something new and different. It might even provide that aha moment. Now you have some choices to make. Think about what family members are important to you. Who do you enjoy being with and why? What members get under your skin and why? Who really needs you to care and nurture them? Who's just fun, exciting, and so interesting? It really is a choice you have. The who, what, and where. And we all have a favorite in our relatives, in our friends and family. I need to tell you about my Aunt Bernice, a favorite. Our connection was really strong, probably because we both lived in Northern California. The door was always open to me. She never forgot to include me in those family traditions around holidays and special occasions. Happy hour and sharing food was the norm. She would always say, it's time for happy hour. It's 5 o'clock someplace in the world. And I always had to remember, I had to always help prepare food or I would never have been fed. One of my memories was the Christmas tradition of making lefse. Now, for you people that aren't Norwegian, that's nothing but a tortilla made with potatoes and flour. And every year, we made lefse so we could drink beer. Here are some general thoughts and ideas regarding the different family and friends that we have in our lives. For greater detail, Being an Elder, the book I wrote, is one resource and is available on beinganelder.com. I also have a blog on the website providing even more numerous thoughts and opportunities. So let's look at all these family members. Think about your parents. What we often find as they move into older age, the roles change. You might have to be a caregiver. I think another important thing in this is to make sure you have the end-of-life conversation with your parents. You may feel and have a high anxiety about that. So do they. But what they really do want to talk about is, how are we going to handle the end of life? I remember with my mother, my sister, and I, and her, and she met with the funeral director. And we went through exactly what she wanted at that time. And we were fortunate to be able to carry out her wishes. The last thing about your parents is really be aware of the loneliness. Many of the older people are lonely because no one is paying any attention to them. Spouse and partner. Very often as you start looking at being an elder, the one with wisdom and experience, you're beginning to slow down. You're thinking stronger about retirement. What's important at this time is really to discuss, not one discussion, but maybe a series over a few months about what is retirement, what is slowing down, and how are you going to live the way you want to live at that point. One of my favorite books on the relationship between people is the book called The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. And his quote about love, I think, is really meaningful. He says, "Love has no expectations. Love is based on respect. Love has compassion. Love is responsible. Love is always kind. Love is unconditional. Love has no resistance." Children. That's another group of family that we have to think about. And remember, they are your children. They will always be your children. But they sometimes grow up and move away. This is your precious gift. You may not have always thought it as a precious gift because there were challenges in raising them. But the one thing you know is you always received the love back. Connection is important with your children. You have family values and tradition. What's interesting is if we go back in history and look at how we learned about our families, it was because it was taught orally. The stories of the family came down through the generations. And one time I read this point about oral history, and it said, when you get the history through oral process, there are many people giving you that information. When you read it in a book, it's just one person. Today we have scrapbooking. Lots of you are involved in scrapbooking. There's also being able to go out on the internet and do your genealogy. All of those things give us information about who we are, where we came from. I really enjoy watching the program on the national television called Finding Your Roots, and how you can just go back and look, and some of the people are really amazed where they come from. I think the other thing that's really interesting is now they're beginning to do, you can get your DNA done. So you can go back and find out where you have come from. Just a few weeks ago, I was watching a show on National Public Television about finding your roots. And it showed how centuries ago, there were people that immigrated or moved from Indonesia and ended up in Madagascar. And from there, they then went inland to Africa. And these African Americans actually found out about their roots way back in Madagascar. They were amazed, I think, as everybody probably was that was watching that program. We have to pass the stories down. We have to tell others about our history. What I know is I started with my mother much too late. She was not as alert as she could have been, and therefore I don't have a lot of history of our families. I have a brother and sister, and when we get together and reminisce, our stories are all a little bit different. My brother says my sister has the creative imagination of what life was like. That history has to be passed down. And you can use the scrapbooking that's available, the genealogy. Even before that, my very good friend Brownie decided that she would write her family history. And she wrote it because she wanted her children and grandchildren to hear the family stories. She used some interviews that she did with older adults. She did some interviews with older aunts and cousins and looked at pictures. And she said the pictures were really important because they came back and told her stories. Yes, ensure that your family history is getting passed down. Grandchildren. You know, think about this. Making your experiences with them unique, unexpected, and unforgettable. You are creating memories, and those are important to them. You can help them become strong from within. You can influence their thinking, their actions, their view of life. Here's a quote I have for you. This is my thought. We want our children to bloom. You plant the seeds, nurture them, give them the sunlight, and enjoy the rain with them. What's important when you're with your grandchildren is you give them meaningful time, not just clock time. It isn't all wonderful with grandchildren. We do have some issues, and I think this is the biggest issue from my friends that I hear about, and that's all this technology that's going on. It's a way of life. Just accept it. You will never be as upset with it if you just accept that this is their way of life. And here's the fact. Growing up, each generation grows up differently. We can't say they should be like us. I think back to just a really quick example. When my mother grew up, she lived in North Dakota. For her to get to school in the winter, she had to use a horse and sleigh. I remember when I was about 8 going out to the farm that my uncle lived on, and we could only drive so far, and then we had to use a horse and sleigh to get to their farm. And today, if children either visit or live where there's snow, they might go on a horse and sleigh for a party to have fun. But it's all different. It's all different. And that's the thing we have to remember. Growing up with each generation is different, and you have to accept it. One way that gets in our way is the saying we go, I just don't understand. Well, maybe you don't understand, and maybe you never will. Just accept that things are different. I love this quote from Adelaide Stevenson, who ran for president in 1952, and he said, that which seems the height of absurdity in one generation often becomes the height of wisdom in the other. The other thing that I think helped me look at technology was a book I read, iBrain, by Gary Smart, who is a medical doctor. And he provided me with two characteristics of the generations. One are the digital natives. They're the ones that probably are in their 20s, few in their 30s, and younger, and they are hardwired to work with technology. Those are your digital natives. I'm, on the other hand, and most of you probably, are what we call digital immigrants. We're learning a new language, and it changes every day. But it's just constant. So understand that that's really the difference between those that are hardwired and those of us who are just amateurs in most cases. But here's what you can really offer your grandchildren. You can inspire their minds. You can help them find the magic in life. You can show them that through learning, they can discover new and different things. And you can share a great adventure. In fact, for some of you, a great adventure may be one day taking a trip through all the small towns in your area and finding out about them and why they exist. And the last group we have is our extended family and friends. This is where we're continually connecting and reconnecting. You probably created numerous work and living situations that gave you friends. Now is the time where you have to continue to make friends. You have to reach out to old friends. I have, in my last probably 20 years or so, I have a group of high school friends that we started getting together on our 60th birthdays, and we get together every year. And just a few years ago, a group of college friends started to get together more often. You might even at some point moved in your lifetime and found out about a cousin who lives close to you now that you have moved. With all my traveling around the United States, one of the things that happened was, on my father's side, there are 18 first cousins. I'm the only one that has met every one of them. And I did that because when I traveled, I made sure I reached out to them. I've had some other experience of meeting friends. This is one that I really remember. It was the Christmas Eve on Guam, and we were notified on that Christmas Eve morning that we were going to get an air evac in from Vietnam. There were about 60 patients coming in, and we had to make sure that we could give them a good Guamanian Christmas. A husband and wife team immediately said, "We will help. You can count on us." And so that night when the patients came into triage, we could put on every patient a palm frond hat. That was the Guamanian Christmas. And of course, we had cans of homemade cookies for them. Another Christmas day I remember was when I was in Australia. My parents were visiting me, and we invited three families that I was working with. One was French, one was Brazilian, and one was American. I don't think my parents nor I had really ever celebrated a Christmas with people from other places. And the fun thing was, it's summer there. So we had picnic food for our Christmas dinner. I still have teacher friends from Colorado, and I can call them up. I did a couple of days ago, and immediately we feel like we were never apart. So these extended friends who feel like family are another source to keep in contact. It is so important to keep developing friendship. Our connection to family is forever for most of us. It's what gives our life meaning. It's both giving and receiving. I would like to close this with a gift that I received from a niece. About 10 years ago, as my sister, mother, and 5-year-old great niece were traveling from North Dakota to Minnesota, I was amazed by the insight this niece provided. It was early on a Sunday morning, and the sun was just rising in the east. She looked at the horizon and with her beautiful voice said, "Look at the canvas that God gave us this morning." To this day, I often comment in my daily journal about what the canvas looks like today.
For more about being an elder living a meaningful life, visit beinganelder.com. You can purchase a copy of the Being an Elder, Becoming a Treasure book online.